GNC564. It's Tuesday, April 2nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, I got a great show for you. Lots to talk about. You know what's next? Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. And of course, if you're new to the show, hey, this is the best way, really, to stay engaged with us. Subscribe to the podcast. You can find, again, a link to be able to subscribe to it right on the main site at geeknewscentral.com. That'll get you so that you guarantee that you get the content twice a week. I record the show every Monday and Thursday night. It is released every Tuesday and Friday morning. And like clockwork, you'll get it in your whatever device you're using to listen to podcasts. So make sure you get subscribed. And of course, that newsletter gets you all the content that I'm going to talk about in the show tonight, everything that I'm going to share, and it'll be in there, and you'll be able to essentially follow along and actually click on the links that I talk about during the podcast. And you can do, it's simple. You just go over there and sign up for it, and then you automatically get the newsletter. I think on the last show, though, I think someone was a sleepyhead and didn't get the show newsletter out. So if you missed the last show's newsletter, I apologize. My fault completely for not hit the send button on that. So make sure that won't happen again. Well, I tell you, I'm back in Honolulu. I'm back in my studio. I'm very happy to be here. Nothing like being home. And I got in yesterday afternoon, I guess about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And having spent so much time really on Central Standard Time, my body was completely out of whack. So by the time I got done, you know, hugging and kissing the kids and talking with the wife and doing everything else that, you know, basically one has to do once he gets home from being traveled that long, I basically hit the shower and I think I was in bed by 8:30 or some ridiculously early hour. But I woke up at 2. Ready to start working and force myself to go back to bed, and got up about 5 and have been cranking ever since. It's been a very busy day. Of course, we launched a large number of advertising campaigns today. So I spent much of the day doing that and kind of just getting caught up. I'm just kind of feel awkward being here in the office because having been really 3 weeks out, it's a pretty long time. But being that it is a new month, I do want to, of course, take just a minute before we really get into the true sponsor messages. And I want to thank all of you for supporting the sponsors last month. Of course, Citrix, longtime sponsor here with Product GoToMeeting. You guys, you signed up for trials and stuff. We appreciate that. GoDaddy, many of you signed up for new domain names, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts, and so forth. Thanks for supporting GoDaddy. And of course, a number of you have tried the new sponsor, Audible. Now, Audible was a sponsor here for a single month. We had them here for the month of March, and maybe they'll be back in May. We don't know exactly how that's going to work out yet. But definitely want to thank everyone. The Audible link on the website will be up until, I think, Saturday. Saturday's when I bring it down. But we're rotating back in the regular sponsors to the show tonight. And whatever you can do to support them throughout the month definitely helps me keep the lights on here. And I'm going to talk about some new initiatives a little later in the show. Actually, here in a few minutes, some stuff that I've been thinking about and some ideas that I have, how should I say, for a better word, hijacked from other shows. And, you know, when I spend as much time as I do in airplanes, I listen to a lot of different podcasts. I listen to my competitors' podcasts. I listen to anyone that is not in the tech world, but in the podcasting space. So I listen to all those folks to get hints on what they're doing and really getting new ideas from different people. And one of the ideas I got, and that was from the really one of the originators of podcasting, was Adam Curry. I heard him on his No Agenda podcast talking about how they're having their fan base actually change the SSI, basically their Wi-Fi SSID tag to their show name. And I thought, that's pretty cool. So for those of you, and flattery is the best. So those of you that feel like promoting the show in your neighborhood, you can do so by changing your SSID tag to geeknewscentral.com and putting that. I'm not going to ask you to set up a guest account or anything like that, but if you want to promote the show, probably your wives are going to ask, what is this? Why is this SID tag geeknewscentral.com? But if you feel like doing that, I think that's a pretty cool thing. It's a great way to show support of the show. And I'm definitely appreciative for all of you that done it. And, you know, and I've got it here at my house. I've done it for a while. I've got three Wi-Fi devices. I've got Raw Voice, Tech Podcast, and Geek News Central already. So it's like my neighbors already know. No one's ever asked me about it, but I've never added the .com. So I did that today and was kind of chuckling about it a little bit. So I'll watch my stats and see if any of my neighbors check in. Next show, I'm going to have the big announcement. And I thought I would be able to do it today, but we're just about this close. We are just so close to being able to really talk about what we're doing over at Raw Voice, the big announcement that's forthcoming. Matter of fact, we put a press release out earlier in the week. I've gotten some feedback from some of you. Some of you have come very close to guessing what we're going to announce. So I'm kind of going to just do a little private thing here between now and the next show. What do you think that we're going to announce next week in preparation for the NAB show? What do you guys think? What do you think we're going to be announcing? If you've been listening to the show for a while, you probably know. Now, that being said, some of our members over at Tech Podcast, we've clued in. And I've gotten some emails back tonight, and some folks are jumping out of their skins. They really are. They're pumped up. The emails I'm getting back are like, I can't say no more. I have to be quiet from here on out. But they are excited, and I think you guys will be too, once I announce everything that we're doing. And it's a big deal. It really is. And we spent a lot of money to get to this big deal. So anyway, that's next show. I'll have the big announcement on here. So you'll want to basically, if you want to tune in, if not, make sure you get the show right away Tuesday morning, because I'm not going to link to anything in the show notes. You have to listen to the show to get the information out. Another thing I'm going to do is for all of the individuals that are contributing to my salary replacement plan, I'm going to start what's called the Geek News Central Insider Newsletter. Everyone that is contributing, whether it be a couple bucks a month up to the platinum level of $25 a month, I'm going to basically have a little private newsletter that I will share on a periodic basis. I'm not going to guarantee a regular posting schedule, basically of insights into things that I see that are going on in the podcasting space, talk about new media. And I'm going to put stuff in that newsletter that you don't necessarily get anywhere else. And I think you'll enjoy that newsletter. So it's going to be the Geek News Central Insider. And again, it'll go to everyone that is contributing to my salary replacement plan. And for those of you new to the show, what the salary replacement plan is currently the sponsors of this show pay my salary. I write myself a paycheck every month. It's what helps keeps the light on here in my home, keeps my family fed and so forth. So what my goal is at the end of this year is to have enough people that are contributing to the salary placement plan that I'm able to take and go on salary from those donations, monthly donations, and then hire someone to come in and do some of the bigger things that I want to do with this show and with the Geek News Central property. And there's a whole bunch of stuff. I got a stack of stuff that I want to do. And I've got to ramp that up. It's not growing as fast as I want it to. So what we're going to do, and I didn't know, I tried to figure out how I was going to lay this out, but I'm going to put it in stone tonight. Silver contributors, those that are contributing for at least a year. Now, I have to do it a year before they get a t-shirt. So after a year, a silver contributor will get a t-shirt. Those that are platinum contributors for 1 year will get a real nice polo shirt. These will be two specific shirts that are designed uniquely for each of those contribution categories. No one else will be able to get those. Those will not be available for sale anywhere else. Matter of fact, I'll get the designs put up online. Well, I actually don't even want to put the designs up because I just don't want someone ripping it and then, making them available for other people. And what another thing I'm going to do for platinum contributors. Now, what platinum contributors are those folks that are giving at least $25 a month towards the show. And there's just a couple right now. And I understand that's a lot of money to be contributing to a single podcast. And I appreciate those that are doing that in a very, very big way. So what I'm going to do, and I have to check on my, I got to do some legal, basically go talk to my accountant and also make sure it's cool that the lawyer says I'm not going to have an issue with this. But what we're going to do is we're going to put those contributors who contribute for at least a year in a pool for revenue sharing. And the revenue sharing is going to come out of not their contributions, but the actual show gross revenues for the year. And if the lawyer and the accountant says I'm legal to do this, we're going to put this pool together and have the accountant will do it. He'll certify the results at the end of the year, and then we'll have a little bit of a revenue sharing pool for those that are platinum contributors for a full year. Exactly, I don't know what that amount's going to be, but basically you'll get some of your contribution back, obviously. And so anyway, that's kind of what I'm looking at to doing. We'll see if that's going to work, if that's legal for me to do. I don't even know if it is at this point. But it's something I thought about tonight a little bit and thought I would go ahead and introduce it. But just basically trying to ramp this thing up and give back to those that give to the show. And, it's kind of an interesting gamble on my part. But at the same time, really, I feel very, very strongly about making this happen, and can't legally, I don't think, make people like part owners or anything like that of the show. I don't think that's possible with the way my company's laid out. I don't know. Again, we'll have to go back and talk to the lawyer and ask the legal folks about that. But same lawyer and legal, same thing. But anyway, that's kind of the plan. We'll see what happens, and I'll report back to y'all when that goes down. But again, that will only be for those that are platinum contributors. Stickers and swag. Got a bunch of envelopes here to ship out. There was probably 40 envelopes waiting for me when I got home. People wanting the sticker and swags. If you want to send a self-stamped addressed envelope to me, basically I will and as long as you put it, you send me a letter with an envelope inside it that's got a self-stamped address, I'll go ahead and send you back stickers and swag from the show. And whatever else I've got laying around here, I'll throw in as well. So some of you may be getting bigger packages back than you sent. So it'll be kind of my way to funnel some stuff out. And the only way you can get that address is being signed up for the newsletter. Okay, let's see here. Before we get into the regular content here, and I'm already approaching my self-imposed time limit. And let me go ahead and flip this. And let me take care of a little business here so we can pay those bills. See if I can actually flip this over. There we go. For those of you online, I don't know if you can see this or not. Hey, again, GoDaddy, longtime sponsor here. If you're looking for domain names, if you're looking for a dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, really, when you think about that and you're looking for an online provider, GoDaddy is the place to go. And, of course, with their recent announcement of basically trying to protect Chinese citizens from a government intrusion, I think that's a big applause point for GoDaddy. And it really makes me continue to be committed to this company and use their products and services in a big way. I have over 230 some domains, I think, at this point. I think we've got 7 servers over there, a couple of smaller shared hosting accounts. So I use a product. I pay for those myself. Those I come out of my pocket. I don't get any of that free. So, but I do use my own promo codes. So when you get to that checkout counter, hey, don't forget, Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on any order $20 or more. Geek will take $5 off any order of $30 or more. Central will get you $10 off any order of $50 or more. So there's a whole bunch of codes here. Todd20, save 20% on a 1-year shared hosting account. I can even save you money on SSL certificates by using Geek SSL 12. So definitely check GoDaddy out. And don't forget those codes when you get to the checkout counter. That's really going to help. You save a lot of money. I know it does. It saves me a lot of money as well. Of course, I want to welcome Citrix back to the show. We had a couple of weeks break while we were in transition to a new media buyer. But Citrix is now back online with us for being a regular full-time sponsor of the show. And you guys know, I travel a lot. But let's be honest. Anytime I can avoid getting in my car or on an airplane to go to a meeting, I do. Matter of fact, I do it when I'm on travel. If I can avoid getting in a car to drive cross town or, you know, into a different city, I do. And that's why I use GoToMeeting to hold online meetings. You know, GoToMeeting is brought to you by my friends at Citrix. It's the easiest and most secure way to hold an online meeting. You can have your first meeting up and running in virtually just a few seconds. And it's amazing to me, for the first time I introduce this product to people, to the time they use it, it's like they're pros at using this thing within really a couple of minutes of just playing around with it. They really know how to use the application. It's easy. And what's even more important, it's simple for those that you're holding a meeting with. Everyone simply logs on to GoToMeeting.com, puts a little code in, or they click on the email that's been sent with the meeting URL. They can see your desktop on their computer. And, you know, you can show them what you're talking about. It's affordable, $49 a month. So I want you to try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Again, I want you to try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. Again, it's a month of online meetings free. For the special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. And thanks, GoToMeeting, for being a very long-time sponsor here to the show as well. Go out there and get those trials, folks. Check it out. If you haven't done one before, this is the month to do it. We'll definitely appreciate it. All right, got a lot of content to get into tonight. And let me go through my little list here and make sure I got everything going on. Are you creative? Do you have a creative streak? I'm looking for creative folks. Let me know if you're creative in the artsy kind of way. I need some help creative-wise. And graphics, that type of stuff. If you're creative and you want to help out the show, send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. We've got 3 developers that are going to be participating in our iPhone development contest. And basically, one of the guys asked me, what's the guidelines, Todd? I said, you know, go out there, check out the current podcasting apps that different shows have, download them, you know, try them, see what they do, do your own spin on it, think what you're capable of doing, and then submit a graphical rendering of what you want to create for the show and submit that to me. I've given everyone 2 weeks. Now, I think we're now a week and a half left before I want those submissions in. Then we'll put them up to the show audience to have everyone vote on which developer is going to really get the job to develop the iPhone app and earn $1,000. So looking forward to those designs coming in and getting a developer selected by you, the listening audience, and those of you that are viewing as well. So we get you guys, get you ramped up for that as well. But again, really looking for someone that's super creative. Hey, again, if you got comments on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. All right, let's go ahead and get into the regular content. You know, I've gotten someone in chat says, I've been listening for 15 minutes and all it is about self-promotion. This show is an hour and 15 minutes. And what we do is for about the first 15 minutes of the show, we talk about what I want to talk about. And that's the way the format's been for 564 episodes. And that's why the listening audience of this show makes up 99.99999% of the audience that tunes in. And the video is just an added bonus for those that are available to watch at this time of night. But let's go ahead and we'll get into that tech content. All right, obviously this week is all about the iPad. Oh my gosh. I mean, it was like every third article that I looked at today was all about what's happening this weekend. And we all know that we're going to have an introduction of the iPad. And boy, I just messed that up. Hang on here a second. The what I'm trying to do is load this up into a different... yeah, there we go. Let me jump it in there and we'll bring it over here and paste and go. There we go. Ahead and flip this over. All right. The iPad app is... iPad apps are now available in the App Store. And the biggest one that probably made the biggest news today was Netflix. For those of you that have an iPad that are arriving on Saturday, you're going to be able to download the Netflix app, and you're going to be able to stream videos on there as well. There's also going to be an ABC player. I heard that there is a whole variety of different media creators apps that are going to be available. So I'm pretty excited about what's going to be available. Now, sadly, no Saturday delivery here in Honolulu. So I don't think I will get my iPad until Monday. I know that the listener that of the show that won an iPad, and his is going to arrive on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to hearing his feedback. But if you want to see what kind of apps are available, you can definitely load up over on iTunes, because they're basically they've released and made those available for people to look at. And they're expensive. They really, really are. It's I'm seeing it's like average price $4.99, $5.99, $6.99. I've seen a couple that were $49.99. So, again, if you want to go look at the different apps that are going to be available for the iPad, that's available, again, over in the App Store. Again, thanks to folks over at Engadget for providing that link and that information. Switching gears here just a little bit, and we're going to be going back and forth. Of course, today during the date was April Fool's Day. And so there's a whole plethora of articles tonight that some of them are a little bit too hard to believe, and some of them are plausible. So I'm sure I am going to try to differentiate while we're going through the show which was April Fool's articles and which were not. And but seems to be every year at least one slips by. So I know you guys are sharp and you guys will get me squared away if I miss one here. But one thing was big take. You guys know I'm a big techno geek. And been involved in electronics my entire life. Today, the father of GPS and pioneer satellite telemetry and timing was inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame. And this is a big deal. This gentleman has joined renowned inventors like Thomas Edison, Alexander Graham Bell, to name a few. Roger L. Easton was recognized by the National Inventors Hall of Fame for pioneering achievements in spacecraft tracking and timing and navigation technology that led to the development of the critical enabling technologies at Navistar, Global Positioning Systems, or what we all know as GPS today. And I think if any technology or any, you know, space-based type of vehicles have ever made a difference, it definitely was GPS. It really revolutionized how really not only aircraft navigation is done, but how we navigate our vehicles. I remember when I first was in the Navy back in 1983, this was long before GPS was a reality. When we were doing nav, we would have two inertial navigation units with an IMU, basically an actual gimbal that was stabilized, that we'd have to, you know, when we have the aircraft first powered up, you stabilize the gimbal, get everything aligned, punch in the position you are at, and then take off and wherever you're going cross country. At some point during a flight, that gimbal or inertial navigation unit would drift and you would have to realign it. And the only way to do that would be to stand on a little platform, look through a little device in the roof of the aircraft and actually do what they would call be a cell shot. And that's not a cell phone shot. That would be actually you'd look at a star, specific star, and get an alignment on that. And then you'd press a button and that would drop that down into the inertial nav unit. You'd have to go in and use a bunch of tables to do a correction to get the inertial nav unit aligned to where the actual position of the aircraft was. You'd have to do that every couple of hours. And then as time progressed, when GPS first came online, there really wasn't the need to do, well, you still were doing these, you know, these ongoing, making sure the inertial nav unit was where it said it was, and the using the GPS as an assisted device. We weren't actually allowed to use GPS for a very long time, even though it really was more reliable, because people didn't quote-unquote trust it. And now it's went completely the opposite, where GPS is really the primary device. And then what it does is it those inertial navigation units are usually still in most aircraft, and then they're just GPS-aided. So what the GPS does is in basically tied into a loop to the inertial navigation units, and it updates the INUs as the aircraft is flying. And while that old technology is still there, it's again GPS-aided, and combined, they're able to come up with a very accurate positioning point for an aircraft in the sky. So it's come a long ways. It really has. It's pretty amazing. And I know a lot of folks are just using a GPS only as their only navigation unit, which is fine. But congratulations to this guy for being introduced to the National Inventors Hall of Fame. It's a big award for that individual. If you haven't ordered an iPad and you're looking for one, hey, it's not too early to get in line. Remember that guy who camped out for the first iPhone in New York City? He was kind of a weird, kind of a interesting individual. Well, he's back at it. He's back in line for his iPad. iPhone Greg is now being renamed as iPad Greg. And he's got about the same type of a haircut. Doesn't look like he's aged too much. Probably got about the same amount of weight on. And he's got himself a little different chair this time, but a very nice orange bright hunting jacket. And he's camping out for his iPad. So how many of you are going to go camp out? Are you going to go camp out? You know, I might just go down and videotape it to see, you know, have fun and do some interviews. Maybe I'll do that. Actually, go to the Apple Store here in Honolulu. We've got three. Go to the main one and hang out and see what everyone has to say. And if there's any excitement around, I'd be curious to see if there's a line, and just go down and have fun with some folks for a while. But yes, you can go start camping out. But if you don't want to go to an Apple Store, you can go to any authorized Apple dealer. Now, there's still those Apple specialists, people that can fix Apple computers, maybe where there's not an Apple Store. There are still a handful of those. So not only at Best Buy is there going to be iPads available, but also at Apple specialist stores or locations are going to be available to buy. So anyway, big weekend on that. Probably be talking about it Monday as well on the, for the show on Tuesday. Hey, down under, down in Australia, researchers have unveiled a bionic eye prototype. It's an implant that is going to be coming in 2013. And what it's going to do is this prototype is going to improve functional central vision. And this is pretty cool. This is a second iteration of this bionic eyeball. And they're really, really working hard here to help those that are vision impaired and folks that have, you know, different types of vision issues. But these are actually going to be cameras, which are going to be implanted into the human eye. And this is an improvement upon that. And so we'll see what happens. But this is a working prototype that researchers at the University of New South Wales have shown off. And in addition to, you have to actually wear these with a set of glasses as well, which is kind of interesting. But clinical trials are to begin later this year in Melbourne with the hope that actual patients will be treated sometime in 2013. And I got the full press release on this is available in the show notes as well. All right, let's talk a little bit about April Fool's jokes. Hey, guys, you heard Google today was renamed Topeka. And, you know, Topeka became Google, so Google became Topeka. Google also introduced a translation device for animals. One company made a mini arcade system where you would actually plug your iPhone into and you would actually play arcade games. We don't know if this one is actually real or not. This might actually be a real device. Toshiba has introduced the world's first inflatable laptop. You just, you know, basically just pull a little lever and it blows up. Got a YouTube video to prove it. And hey, then you guys saw when we were at CES, the control of the little helicopters, the play helicopters with the iPhone. Well, Nokia has one-upped everybody with the Nokia N900. Actually controlling a real helicopter with a Nokia N900. You should see this guy flying the real helicopter. It's a pretty good video on YouTube. And I'm sure that is real news. I have some more April Fool's stuff for you as well. All right, HTML5. We knew this was going to be big. We knew that a lot of sites were going to have HTML5 implemented. CBS has announced that they're going to have HTML5 ready. Of course, Apple actually announced a number of sites that were, I guess, HTML5 or iPad ready. And I think that got that linked a little further down. Let me see where I've actually got it here. If I can actually bring that up. Do I actually have it here close? Of course, here it is. CNN, Reuters, New York Times, Vimeo, Time, Major League Baseball, The White House, Virgin America, Sports Illustrated, Flickr, People Magazine, TED, to name a few. If your site is iPad ready, you can submit your site to the growing list, and they'll be happy to add it there. And I'm sure you have to have a big site to make that happen. But yes, they're actually saying which sites are iPad ready. That's just got it. The folks at Adobe. They have a big red mark on their forehead from when they're bouncing their head against the concrete because they know this is a game changer. The genie is out of the bottle. HTML5 is, you know, been in work for a while, but this just gave it a big shove over the hill to get all these sites really to, you know, to get them enabled. So that when you go to that site, boom, you can watch videos. Geek News Central is not yet iPad ready. And I got to go looking on WordPress to see if there's any plugins yet to make that happen. I was actually hoping that we would have PowerPress to the point where we could announce that PowerPress would make people's sites HTML5 ready, but we're not quite there yet. We've been dealing with this other big development cycle, but it is coming. We are going to have our PowerPress podcast plugin at some point here in the very near future so that really it'll be seamless so that make all sites, not only will there be a Flash player, there'll be for those browsers that don't support HTML5, but when you come and you do have an HTML5 capable browser, boom, you'll be using that. So when folks come to my site to watch the show on video on iPad, they're still going to see the swirling Flash thing with no video. So I am a little bit disappointed in that, but it's just a matter of getting everything else we needed to get done, and it'll come. It's coming. Don't worry. We're going to make it happen. This next one is cool, and I'm just going to have to show those of you that are on Ustream this. And I don't know if this is an April Fool's joke or if this is the real deal. You guys heard, there's some folks that have created Google envelopes. And I just want to be able to do this to be cool. I think it would be cool if, you know, I send letters once in a while. But what it is, it's a map that has the origin address and the destination address. Up in the top corner is, you know, the sender's address, and in the middle is the person that's receiving it, and it shows the map in between those two destinations. It's Google Maps Envelopes Beta. If this isn't a April Fool's pun, this is cool. And everything I read in the comment section makes it appear that it's the real deal. So maybe I'm going to get spoofed on this here, but when you guys see this, those of you that are listening to the show, when you look in the show notes, you're going to say, I want those envelopes. Even if I have to print those myself and fold them and glue them together, this is ultimate geeks envelope. It really, really is. I'm sure it'll raise havoc in the U.S. mail system to try to get it right. But it's cool. It really is. It's a great idea, even if it's a spoof. So, actually, I wasn't showing you guys. Let me flip that over so I can show you guys on Ustream. There we go. So I give you guys a quick second to look at that while I move into the next topic here. How many of you that are old school, that have been around since the very beginning of computing days, remember the Altair computer? In 1975, the MIT's Altair 8800 was introduced in popular electronics. It was introduced by a gentleman that was by the name of Dr. Henry Edward Roberts. Any of you that have read any of the Gates biographies know that Bill Gates probably owes a good portion of his fortune to this guy. Very instrumental. Altair was was one of the earliest build-it-yourself PCs. It came as a kit. And it was very expensive to build. And this gentleman today died at the age of 68 years old. A number of condolences have went out throughout the internet today. Gates made a statement. Really, Gates, I really believe, based upon the story and how this all went down, Gates owes a big percent of his fortunes to a lot of the work that Dr. Henry Edward Roberts did. So, pioneer in the PC space, is dead at 68. Okay, Gizmodo's got a list of essential iPad apps. And from what I heard about the Wired app, that's going to be the one you're going to have to get. And if those of you that are into comics, and if you like Marvel Comics, you'll want to download that app. But there was a Jeff, who was our content director, got to see an iPad with Wired loaded on it. And he basically told those of us on the team, stand by to never want to pick up another paper magazine ever again. And that's huge for him to say that, because we're all pretty anti-normal establishment type of guys. And he says, stand by to be blown away. Now, from what I saw on screenshots, let me actually roll this down and see if I can actually bring up the Wall Street Journal. Do they have it in here? They may not have a screenshot of it. Yeah. You guys know that my biggest complaint on the Kindle was that when I was reading newspapers on the Kindle, essentially, it really wasn't a seamless experience. It wasn't like I was really reading the newspaper. From everything I can see from this screenshot, it's going to be very hard for me not to subscribe to the digital version of the Wall Street Journal. If they've done it the way I expect it to do it, it's just going to be like reading a newspaper, but you know, on the device. And I'm not a big USA Today fan, but I think that we've got something going on here for the newspaper business. Maybe it is their salvation, but there's a full list here of essential iPad apps. And really the takeaway that I've seen today on all of the articles that I've read is that everyone says it's just an iPhone, but bigger. While in some instances true, the extra screen real estate is such that they are allowed to subrogate and do a lot of different things with it that just would not be possible. And so I'm pretty excited to see how these apps really interact and if this is really a game changer. I'm getting excited about this. Can you guys tell? I'm sure this is all we're going to hear for the next week. Bear with me as we go through it. But if you're getting one, we know what's your guys' takeaway so far and everything you've read. Like, this is like iPad week. So love to hear you guys' comments. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, the voicemail hotline tonight is 619-342-7365. Over on Web Worker Daily, 10 simple Google search tricks. And a lot of these are pretty cool. And I've shared some of these before. A currency conversion, Google Calculator, use it to find out what time, search specific document types, area code lookups. There's all kinds of cool stuff you can do that maybe you didn't know you could do on Google. And I'll have a link up to those tips and tricks that you can use. You know, being a person that books a lot of airline tickets and actually searching for good deals can be a bit of a challenge. I have not used this website called Yapta. But everything I'm hearing about this at yapta.com, Yapta.com, makes me want to start going over there and checking it out. And if any of you have actually had an experience with them, this is an article on GigaOm. And he's got this fabulous new background design now that I really like on his website. So if you get over there, definitely check the background of that website out. But anyway, Yapta uses data to make both airlines and customers happy. And what they, you know, what I found is, and what you probably have found as well, is the closer it is to a flight date, the more expensive it seems the tickets get. And, you know, it's just like airlines seem to think that those seats become more valuable the closer to takeoff time. Well, what Yapta does is it watches all those variables. And it basically gives you an idea when the best time to buy is or when there's going to be a change in price. And what it's basically doing is giving people more information on how to buy airline tickets. And it helps users track changes in flight prices. And I'm reading this from the article. Helps users track changes in flight prices so they can make better purchasing decisions. And if so need be, get a refund they're entitled to if a flight they bought becomes cheaper. I've never seen that happen before. I've never gotten a refund on a ticket because the tickets got cheaper. But Yapta says it finds price drops for 45% of the airfares it tracks and refunds for 15% of the flight customers continue to track after they purchase them, amounting to an average of $375 in alerted savings per year per Yapta member. That's a lot. Especially, you know, I fly a lot. I wonder what my savings will be. I'm going to check them out. I'll let you guys know after my next flight on how that worked out. But definitely check them out, yapta.com. Hey, do you remember about a month ago, we talked about some data that was culled off of Facebook. And basically what it was a gentleman basically determined usage patterns and how, you know, people in the Northeast seem to talk to people in the Northeast and how they're connected more to the South than they are to the West. And really it was, he built up this great graph. Well, the researcher who collected the data from 210 million public Facebook profiles was essentially threatened to be sued by Facebook and had to take the data down. Facebook went after him big time. And the guy says, in part, he says, I'm not very happy about this, especially since nobody ever alleged that my data gathering was outside the rules the web has operated by since crawlers existed. He says, I followed the robots.txt directions and was even helped by microformatting in the public profile pages. Well, what Facebook has said, Andrew Noyes, manager of public policy communications at Facebook, said in an email that Warden aggregated a large amount of data from over 200 million users without our permission in violation of our terms. And he also publicly stated he intended to make the raw data freely available to others. So they eventually threatened him and he has had to remove that data from the web. So I can see Facebook is really getting a little big for their britches. And being a little protective of their content, that's for sure. Now, is this true or not? And this was released on April 1st, and you guys know I'm a NASCAR fan, but I guess over in Europe, an innovative glass company has come up with a prescription windshield for race car drivers. A prescription windshield for race car drivers. Now, what makes me think that this is not the case? Have you ever taken your glasses and then, you know, you're wearing them and then you take them off and you get farther out and you get further out? They're less effective the farther out you go. Well, obviously, it's because the lens is small, right? And your eyeball is, you know, got a wider aperture than that. So do you guys think that prescription windshields is an April Fool's joke, or is that the real deal? I'll have the link up in the show notes for you. But it's a pretty convincing video. If this is an April Fool's joke, they went to a lot of work to do it. They really did. Now, hey, the folks over at Verizon has basically promoted one of their test dummies as up to the position of a senior vice president and head of handset testing. So they got an exclusive photo of this dummy in the picture here. So, yep, he has been promoted to a senior vice president. I actually did a press release on it and everything. That's a good stewardship of the company's dollars. All right, if you're a Bing fan and you use Foursquare, what they're going to be doing here is you're going to be able to use an app overlay over the top of Bing Maps and basically see where people are checking in, see where people are have mayorships, badges, tips. So it's an app layer that's going to go over top of Bing Maps. This is similar to what you can do with Twitter. So soon this is going to be introduced. This will be pretty cool for those of you that are a Foursquare user with your iPhones. Okay, Wall Street Journal, they couldn't be left out of the game here. 2,300 iPad apps have been introduced, and I'm a big Lost fan. Of course, this is the final season. You're going to be able to stream Lost over their app, and a lot of the same stuff has been reviewed here. I have this link up in the show notes for you. Big rumors on the Amazon side. Analysts are saying that Amazon is going to have to cut the price of the Kindle. And they feel they're going to have to cut it to as low as $149 because their current price of $259 is not going to be competitive anymore when it comes to really competing with the iPad. And I really, you know, I don't know. I'll have to load a book on the iPad and compare the differences and see which I like reading the best. Now, what kind of makes me surprised is that there's been some very glowing reviews of reading books on the iPad. And this is by Kindle users. So this could be a game changer for Amazon. I guess a lot of it has to do with the pricing of the books as well. Let's see here. TechCrunch had a bunch of April Fool's joke sites as well. I have that link up in the show notes. Hey, a little more on the space news side. Spirit. The rover may have went into a hibernation mode. NASA has announced that Spirit missed a routine communication session with the Earth earlier this week, and project officials have concluded that the aging rover has gone to a power-conserving hibernation mode as anticipated. It didn't communicate with Earth as scheduled on March 30th. Which they believe is the result of the rover going into a very, you know, critical power conservation mode. As you remember, Spirit has got some issues. They got a tire dragging. It's actually stuck in the mud, and it's at a bad angle. So it's not getting much power during the winter months. So the rover's internal temperature is going to drop to some of the lowest it's ever seen. So this is going to be a true test on the rover's electronics. So Opportunity is continuing normal operations on the other side of the planet, but Spirit is now basically in self-preservation mode. So we'll see what happens when the winter months are over, and we'll watch for news more on from NASA itself as well. Kind of a weird one coming out of from the Cassini spacecraft as well. They've been doing a lot of measurements from the flybys, and one of the Saturn's moons, so which one was it? The moon Mimius showed that the planet has a very uneven temperatures. And when I saw this, and this is over on spacetoday.net, and when you guys see this in the show notes, you guys are going to laugh because I'll show those of you on Ustream this picture. It looks like the Pac-Man. You guys know Pac-Man, right? What the Pac-Man looks like. This image, this temperature image, looks like Pac-Man's trying to eat the moon Mimius in this. But they say it's all based upon this moon's specific shadowing and everything else that's going on. But I think you guys will get a chuckle out of it. I really didn't want to share it with you for a science perspective, because I don't think you guys care less what the different temperatures are on that that specific moon. Actually, that moon actually looks like the Death Star because it's got a big spot on it as well. But it does look like a Pac-Man's trying to eat it, and I think you guys will get a kick out of it. All right, we all know that the cable card has been an utter gross failure. Matter of fact, I would almost attest, does anyone in the audience have a cable card in any of their television sets? If you do, I want you to email me immediately, geeknews@gmail.com, and tell me that you actually have a cable card in your TV. I know I have a cable card slot in my Sony. Oh, by the way, I haven't told you guys this. Guys, I told you on the last show that my Sony television basically was on the blink. Except basically what has happened was the lamp had burned out. Luckily, I was under warranty still. 23 days left on the warranty, and they came out and put the $250 lamp in, and my kids are happy the TV works again. But my flat screen has a cable card slot, but, you know, my cable company doesn't have no cable cards. You can't get them. And if they do, they want to charge you some outrageous price per month to use one. Of course, most cable cards are being used in cable providers' own set-top boxes. But so what the FCC is basically saying is, hey, enough is enough. We want to make something foolproof. Foolproof to protect the American consumer. So what they're going to do, the FCC has announced plans, and they includes two new items. One is called a network gateway, NOI, notice of inquiry seeking comment on the best approaches to assure the commercial availability of smart video devices and other equipment used to access the services of multi-channel video program distributors. So they essentially want to have a box that would go between your cable and your devices. So another box, but someone else's box, not your cable provider's box. Then also what they want on the cable card front is a notice of proposed rulemaking that proposes changes to the cable card rules for set-top boxes used with cable services to improve operations of that framework pending the development of a successor framework. In other words, they're looking for a replacement of cable card, and it didn't work anyway. So how many of you have got an actual cable card in any of your sets? I'd love to hear from you if you do. Tell me how you got one. Who did you bribe? What cable company made it available? Yeah, send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. And here's one for all of us that have given up on terrestrial radio. The recording industry has scored a significant victory today with the news that the Obama administration will provide its strong support for the Performance Rights Act. Now, if you guys remember that correctly, what that does is what that really does is even the playing field. You know, we were fighting tooth and nail a little over a year ago for streaming audio. You guys know that there was a big battle going on the royalty payments and all that stuff, and it went to the copyright board, and it was ugly for a long time. Well, many of you that are still listening to terrestrial radio probably know that your radio stations have been running these ads, call Congress and tell them your right to listen to the radio is being infringed and this radio station may have a trouble competing and blah, 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 this big sob story, right? Well, this bill, again, will force over-the-air radio stations to start coughing up cash for the music they play, just like the net-based folks do. You know right now that the stations pay the songwriters, but not the actual recording artists. So it'll be interesting how this fares out. But the Obama administration has basically told radio stations, we're going to support the Performance Rights Act. And, you know, if the president's behind that, then I'm sure, just like they got the health care bill through, they should be able to get this through. So we'll see. We'll see where they fall on party lines on this one. It'd be interesting to watch. Yes, it will. Apple has tweaked the iPhone to work better with AT&T. Should that come as a surprise? Apparently, Apple sent a bunch of their developers to networking school, sponsored by AT&T, to make them smarter, make the phone smarter, to make the phone play nicer on the AT&T network. So apparently now Apple developers are in what are called a master class of engineering to interact with the AT&T network. So just a couple of little, I guess, little changes has helped the AT&T not be impacted so heavily on their network. This was an article on arsstatica.com. I have a link to it, of course, in the show notes. But so apparently AT&T basically told Apple, hey, you're part of the problem here. Fix this. All right, let's just talk a little bit here at the end of the show while I got regular articles wrapped up about some things that are over on Slashdot. It's being announced that the European Space Agency is moving forward with a plan to land an autonomous spacecraft on the moon by 2017, with the idea of a manned vehicle could land there sometime in the future. It's a mission NASA had its roadmap before being cut by the current administration. So the European Space Agency is now seeking proposals for a lunar lander that would land on the south polar region of the moon, which may have deposits of ice and water. Now, NASA couldn't be left out of the party because early this morning, according to NASA, NASA kicked off Operation Lens, an ambitious plan to concentrate and collect solar power using a giant magnifying glass in outer space. The rumor was that this was a 7 million feet wide lens fabricated over the course of the past 3 years, quote unquote, and but they got a problem with it. It works too well. It's been burning pieces of the tundra of the Earth as it moves over it. Yeah, whatever. April Fools. Ha ha. That was a dumb one. Do they think anyone is even going to buy into that? Did anyone really think that they were going to pass that one over? I don't think so. All right, Tiffany and Company has learned yet again that eBay is not responsible for users selling counterfeit items. And back in 2004, Tiffany sued eBay, lost. District court smacked down Tiffany in every account. The appeals court has sided with eBay again, telling Tiffany that eBay is not liable for reactions of its users. So Tiffany is not happy, but once again, basically the eBay's been protected by a lot of the rules that protect ISPs today. So another loss, and probably, hey, Tiffany, go sue the people that are selling that stuff, all right? All right, let's wrap this up with a couple of reviews on what's coming with the iPad. Gizmodo has got a number of write-ups on people's reviews. Walt Mossberg was impressed by the battery life and speculates that the touchscreen could see the end of the mouse. But he says people have to try it out before making a judgment on the device. Ed Bagg at USA Today said the iPad is not so much about what you can do, browse, do email, play games, read books, and more, but how you can do it. He said that's where Apple is rewriting the rule book for mainstream computing. There's no mouse or physical keyboard. Everything is based on touch. David Pogue at the New York Times provide two reviews. He basically points out the iPad is a new category of device, not a laptop. He says it's not currently as good as for creating stuff. On the other hand, it's infinitely more convenient for consuming it, books, music, video, photos, web mail, etc. And he said for the more technically inclined, he complains about the complaint about Apple not supporting Flash. And so he says, meanwhile, thousands of websites show up with empty white squares on the iPad, which makes for a pretty bad experience. Omer Waskow, I guess, at The Root says the technical obsession with specs and obscure features completely misses how most consumers will actually use the iPad. He says a small percentage of power users will be disappointed that the iPad doesn't say have an HDMI video out port or that it currently lacks the ability to run multiple applications. But he says that people will, you know, most techies forget how this is actually going to be used. And there's a variety of other reviews here as well from a variety of different sites. I'm not going to go into all of those. But, this is iPad week, folks. And love to hear you guys' feedback. Are you sick of hearing about it already? We're probably going to have about another week of reports and seeing how people are using it and experiences and so forth. and definitely be here on Monday to share all of that data with you. Got some email comments to get into tonight. I don't think we had any voicemails come in, but if you have anything you want to share with the show, all you got to do is dial 619-342-7365. And of course, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address where you can send your comments to. We've got a couple more people that responded to show number 560 when I talked about the Symbian. We'd actually went through what the Symbian did and the number of platforms it was on. So I'm not going to go too deep into that, but I want to thank Valiant8086 for his response. Basically gave me a long list of Nokia phones that Symbian's running on. I appreciate that, Valiant. Thanks very much. Sam, part of the Ohana here in that's out in Albuquerque. He said, "Hey, Todd, this is pretty cool. A great geeky toy for iPad owners." And I'm loading this up here and see what... Sam, did you buy in? Is this an April Fool's joke? The arcade cabinet? Is this the real deal? If it is, it's pretty silly. But yeah, I think it's truly a product. It's not an April Fool's deal. $149. I don't know if I'd buy one, but you can play hundreds of classic arcade titles. Geeks are going to love this thing. I agree. This thing will sell like hotcakes. If nothing else, it'd be cool just to have on the desk when people come and say, "What's that?" And then show it to them. It is. It's a true deal. It's an ultimate desktop arcade. And, you know, just imagine, folks, you know, you go to the arcade and play arcade games. Well, let me show it to the audience members. Let me bring this up for you guys. Hang on. Those of you that are on Ustream. What this is an actual mini arcade. And it's called iCade, I-C-A-D-E. It's iPad arcade cabinet. It looks like an arcade machine, but it's very small. And it's used to playing specific arcade games from this company. Very cool stuff. And thanks, Sam, for proving to us that that was not a not an April Fool's joke. Got an email from Charter Time. "Hey, Todd, did you say you replaced your new Sprint Air card with a U301? If so, how do you like it so far? Is it better than one you had earlier?" Tom, that U301 is night and day difference between the U300. My 3G speed is back to normal. It does just as good on 4G. Much, much better card. Are you have a 300 now? Whatever you do, stay away from that U3. I don't think you can get it anymore. I think Sprint got rid of it as quick as they did. But, if your U300 is still under warranty, maybe it needs to be turned in for a problem to get it repaired or replaced. That's my suggestion. But yeah, it's working good. Got an email here from Keith. He say, "Hey Todd, what about creating a GNC app for Android? I would really like to try to create one, at least to pass on the ideas that I have. Also, I thought that the skips were just edit points. Completely never thought it was your rig. Thanks once again for the wonderful podcast. Been listening regularly since 2006. Sincerely, Keith Jamati." Thanks, Keith, for hanging out, man. Thanks for being a longtime listener of the show. We've been around almost since the early days. And I would love to do an Android app as well. And if you want to try, hey, more power to you. If you're able to put one together, I'll put you on the Geek News Insider mailing list and give you all kinds of kudos and accolades. I'm so focused on, the iPhone. I forgot that many, many of you out there have Android phones and Blackberries. I'd love to have an app for every phone. And heck, I'd even be willing to pay for one as well. So, let me know. See what you can do. See what you can put together. And I don't know what's out there as an example. I don't have an Android phone to test on one. So you'd have to do all the testing and playing with it. But love to have one, Keith. Got an email from Robert. He said, "Hey, Todd, I was shamelessly promoting our new audio comedy podcast. Everyone could use a laugh these days. The shows are a bit less than 10 minutes long. We have over 100 in the can. We'll be posting about 3 new ones every week. We only have 2 up now, just started it. If you have the time, please have a listen to one or so. He gave me a direct link, and it's up on Facebook. He says, we aren't iTunes compatible yet, working on it. By the way, I'm a Geek News Central listener. Trust all is well. Aloha, ha, Bob. Hey, Bob. Hey, more than happy. I'm going to link you up here to your Facebook page. Hey, all you got to do to get iTunes ready, install WordPress, buy a domain name over at GoDaddy, buy a shared hosting account, install PowerPress on there. Boom, you're done. You're up there and you're running. It shouldn't take you more than a couple of hours to get up and set up with a basic site and so that you're iTunes capable. That's where it's really at. And good luck. And I'll have the link up to your comedy podcast in the show notes. Got an email here from Bob. He says, hey, Todd, been a Wall Street Journal reader for 30 plus years, but not a current subscriber. He says, I refuse to be monetized every time I turn around. And that is all Rupert Murdoch seems to talk about. He wants you to pay $250 per year for the paper, then another $200 for the web access, and then another $200 plus for the iPad access. Yes, they have periodic promotions for combined temporary discounts, but as soon as you renew, you'll be fully monetized at full price. I decided to subscribe to The Economist. It includes full website access, email updates with the print subscription. Thanks for the great podcast, Bob. And PDX. What airport is PDX? I'm going to have to search here real quick. PDX. Is that Philly? Where is PDX? Or in Portland. Okay, so Bob's over in Portland. Hey, thanks for that. And are you serious? $650 for access to all 3 versions? $200 for the iPad access? Oh, that just takes my breath away. I don't know. Maybe I won't be subscribing to the Journal on the iPad. $200? For the iPad access? You know, if you could pay for one subscription and get it all, that's one thing. Oh my goodness, that's a lot of money. It's not worth that much. I'll definitely be checking out The Economist as well. Thanks, Bob. It's send us some more emails on that kind of stuff. Got an email from Matt. He said, hey, Todd, you probably heard about the story, but I saw on Facebook as a fan of the U.S. Navy page, there was a status update. Matt goes on to say, our thoughts and prayers are today with a crew of an E-2C Hawkeye from the carrier Airborne Early Warning Squadron VAW-121 aboard the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower CVN-69 that crashed at sea in the North Arabian Sea today. 3 of the 4 crew members were rescued and returned to the ship. Search and rescue efforts for the 4th crew member are currently underway. And Matt, future Navy IT. Matt, thanks for sending me that. You know, I got a little story about, we got some time here before the end of the show. When I first went to the Navy in 1983, went through boot camp, and then I went to Memphis for A school, and it was very early in the spring of 1984 when I was, at the time, it was all computer-based training, and I had already taken 2 years of electronics in high school and Votech, and really, my electronics training was kind of a breeze when I came in the Navy because I already knew this stuff. So it was computer-based, and you basically had to stay ahead of the computer. The computer gave me so many hours a module, and I was like 560 hours ahead and basically was not doing anything one day. And actually was actually going to take the day off from class, but was in for some reason. And this guy walks into the classroom, and we're in cubicles at the time. He says, any of you guys want to fly? And I kind of poked my head up above the cubicle, and here's this air crew, and he's wearing a green flight suit, of course, and he's just kind of grungy, you know? And I kind of thought, wow, that guy's uniform is horrible. And I kind of raised my hand. I said, yeah, I want to fly. And he says, come on with me. So we went across to the north side of the base there in Millington, Tennessee, where the training school was at. And there was an E-2 Hawkeye parked on the ramp. And I'm going to tell you, for any of you that have went to an air show and have crawled onto a military aircraft, military airplanes have their own unique smell. They're not like getting into a commercial airline. you know, a little bit of oil, hydraulic fluid, electronic, and it's always got this kind of this mixture, and with maybe even a little bit of staleness. It's kind of got this unique funk. But when I crawled into that E2, and really, this, you know, here's a whole bank of electronics, knobs, scopes, stuff that I have not a clue what it is. I could smell the electronics, and I said, I am home. And I was hooked. You could not have changed my destiny from that point forward, because it was me like, where do I sign up to do this? And that really was a turning point for me when I came in the Navy, because from that point, instead of going to a ship, I went to a air station. And I flew in a variety of aircraft, primary P-3s throughout my 25 years or 24 years in the Navy. And all of it was because of, you know, that one guy come to the classroom and said, how many of you guys want to fly and get in, crawl on that E-2? And really, you know, not to play down what tragedies happened there, Matt, but that's what happens in naval aviation. You know, it's the name of the game, and you feel sorry for these guys that went down, and I don't know if the other individual was lost at sea, but I used to, you know, it sounds kind of crass, but I used to tell guys that I flew with, well, that's what we get paid the big bucks for, and we got paid when I retired, an additional $400 a month to fly. So a little bit of a history there tied into this story, but thanks for sharing that with me. I wasn't aware of it. Definitely not plugged into everything that's going on in the Navy today, but cool. And again, I know you're a future IT and getting ready to go in the service. I got an email here from Bill. Hey, Todd, greetings from a very soggy Coatesville, Pennsylvania. Hope all's all with you. Here is something that will probably make you go, the t-shirt email alert. Bill, thanks for sharing. It made my day. If we could get these made as giveaways, I want to see if this is possible to be redone. Wait till you guys see this. You guys are going to love it. You really, really are. Let's see. I think I have got, if I gotten everything here. Got a couple more here. I got slapped around on one email. Let me go ahead and read this, not this one here. This is from Lamar. He said, hey, Tidy, I'm using my PS3 to stream my Netflix movies. It's much better than my Apple TV because it offers more with the gaming ability. More movies are being converted to HD as well. Good show. Thanks, Lamar, for that. Got an email here. Actually, this is a PR person. Actually, I don't know. Brock, are you a listener of the show? If you're a listener of the show, I'd love to talk to someone from the large Hadron Collider. Love to do an interview with them. So I'm going to star your email. There's a phone number here. I'll call you. Got an email from Steve. Hey, Todd, I've been listening for about 6 months now on my droid. Look forward to listening every time. I normally don't try to correct people, but I think you would want to be corrected on this. I just heard you talked about the pawn to own hacking contest. To me, it sounded like you said pawn to own, but pawn is pronounced like own, but with a P like pony. With the Y, without the Y, if you know this, I'm sorry, but if you don't know this, you're welcome. Pin is commonly used in PC games to talk smack. It is similarly to say, it's like pawn, I pawned you, right? Pawn to own, isn't that right? Okay, any geek worth his cred will pronounce it like own. I thought I said pawn. Pawn, is it, how many, am I saying it wrong? When I say something, I think it's supposed to mean pawned. So, okay, you're pawned, right? In a game, I pawned you, right? Am I wrong? I'm not a gamer, so, you know, sorry. All right, anyway, thanks, Steve, for that. All right, folks, let's wrap this thing up. Regular show back here in the studio on Thursday. And what is today? No. On Monday. Today is Thursday. My goodness. So back in the studio here on Monday for show Monday night for Tuesday release. If you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. If you, drop me a line. Let me know what you think about the show. What do you think we're going to announce? Have you figured it out? Send me an email. Tell me what we're doing. Tell me if I've given too many hints away during the shows. Have you got a clue? Do you think you know what it is? I'd love to hear you guess. And I bet you, if you're a regular listener of this show, you will know. All right, folks. Everyone take care. And we'll see you on the next go-around. Thanks for hanging out, of course. And thanks for being part of the Ohana here at Geek News Central. And everyone take care. Aloha.